Eight teams remain after Saturday's slate of second-round games, and the Wildcats are one of them. Indiana Wesleyan was able to overcome a sluggish start and take command of the game as they blanked the Mound Builders for the final three quarters of the game. Ryan Whitwell shined in his first game back from injury as he helped push the Wildcats into the quarterfinals. We'll get into all that today, but with that being said, I'm Gannon Parker, and welcome back to This Week in Wildcats Football. I'm glad to be here in the studio today as the Wildcats are back at full strength for the first time since the bye week. After trailing at the end of the first quarter, the defense stiffened and shut down Southwestern's offense. The offense did what was needed and found the end zone three times for the Wildcats in a solid 24-13 victory. As the playoffs progress, there are fewer games to go over outside of Indiana Wesleyan, but as always, let's go ahead and take a look. Number 1 Kaiser defeated number 20 Pikeville 56-21 in a convincing blowout. Number 2 Grandview came back to defeat number 16 Friends 21-17. Of course, Indiana Wesleyan defeated number 15 Southwestern 24-13. Number 4 Montana Western defeated number 14 Dickinson State 41-14. Number 10 Georgetown upsets number 5 St. Thomas 27-21. Morningside stays alive as they beat number 12 Mid-America Nazarene 35-0. Number 11 Northwestern defeats number 7 Montana Tech 32-29. And number 9 Benedictine defeated number 8 Texas Wesleyan 42-33. So with all of those games taking place, here are the matchups for the quarterfinals in the 69th annual NAIA Football Championship Series. So number 1 Kaiser will host number 10 Georgetown. Number 2 Grandview will host number 11 Northwestern. Number 3 Indiana Wesleyan will host number 9 Benedictine. And number 4 Montana Western will host number 6 Morningside. So the Wildcats stay alive. They beat Southwestern College 24-13. A quick scoring summary. Ryan Whitwell, in his first game back from that hamstring injury that he suffered during the bye week, opened up the scoring with a 9-yard touchdown run. And then Matthew Holthus caught a 68-yard touchdown pass from Braden Howell. Josh Clifton tacked on a field goal, and as time expired at the end of the first quarter, Bryce Chambers hauled in a 20-yard pass from Howell, setting the score up to be 13-10 at the end of the first. Moving over into the second quarter, Ryan Whitwell scored from 1 yard out, and then moving over into the second half, Isaac Smith hauled in the only points of the second half with an 8-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine, making your final score 24-13. Looking at the box score from the game, going over the stats first, we'll start with the team as we always do. The Wildcats with 24 first downs, 9 on the ground, 15 through the air. For the Mound Builders, 17 in total, 3 on the ground, 13 through the air, and 1 aided by penalty. Rushing yards, the Wildcats rack up 164 to the Mound Builders, 78. Through passing, the Wildcats just come out on top in this battle, 260-257 for Southwestern. So in total, the Wildcats put up 424 yards of offense while only allowing 335. And as always, we have to take a look at penalties. And as unfortunate as it is, the Wildcats still lost this penalty battle. The Mound Builders committed just one penalty for 5 yards. The Wildcats actually cleaned it up for the most part with penalties, only committing 3 for 15. But unfortunately, they still lose the battle this week. But it's been much better than it has been all season long, so I don't think Andrew Rohde is too upset about that. Looking over individual statistics, Kyle Antoine had a decent day, 23 for 38, 260 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. He was only sacked once. Hard to believe I'm saying that really at all about this Wildcat team. They have done a nice job protecting Antoine this year, but they're facing better teams as the playoffs go on, so it's not all too surprising. Looking over at Braden Howell for the Mound Builders, 18 of 33, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. His longest pass was 68 yards. That was the first touchdown of the game for the Mound Builders. We'll talk about that later. He was sacked 3 times, a couple of those coming on crucial third downs, I believe late in the second quarter, sometime in the second half as well. For rushing, welcome back Ryan Whitwell, 25 attempts for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns. He averaged 3.8 yards per carry. Roosevelt Cage, who didn't see as much action as he has seen in the past few weeks, 13 attempts for 79 yards, no scores for him. Moving over for the Mound Builders, Martez Jones led the way for 17 attempts, 74 yards, and no touchdowns on the ground for any Mound Builders running backs. Moving over to receiving, Levi Tidwell led the way in all categories except touchdowns, 9 catches for 100 yards, his longest was 35. Isaac Smith, 7 catches for 69 and a score. And Simon Vinson, 2 catches for 41 yards. His longest was 26. Moving over to the Mound Builders, they had an impressive day, especially Matthew Holthus. 9 catches, 175 yards, and a touchdown. His longest was 68. That was that touchdown he caught. Bryce Chambers, 4 catches for 45 yards and a score. And Joe Smith, 2 catches for 18 yards. His longest was 11. Moving over to defensive stats, Clayton Mosier led the way with a dominant performance. 16 total tackles, 13 assisted, 3 solo. Luke Bays with 9, 6 assisted, 3 solo. Preston Sykes with 6 in total, 5 assisted, 1 solo. Neil Campbell with 5, 1 assist, 4 solo. Anthony Cheeseborough and Davion Turner both with 4 total tackles, 3 assisted, and 1 solo for each. And Drake Deshetsky, 4 total tackles, all of them being solo. So once again, the Wildcats take this one at home, 24-13. They move on to the quarterfinals for the third straight year, 2 of those years coming under Andrew Rohde. Last year, this Wildcat team had to go on the road and ended up losing in the quarterfinals. This year, though, they are at home. They will play Benedictine College. We'll get into the preview of that game momentarily. But in just watching this game, first off, the Wildcat defense did an amazing job for the final 3 quarters. They shut down the Mound Builders offense completely, not allowing a single point. The Wildcats actually trailed at the end of the first quarter. And as I was watching this game, I thought to myself, man, we might really have a very close competitive ball game. And it really was that, but it became very evident in the fourth quarter that the offense was doing a nice job protecting the ball. That is the Wildcats offense, and the defense was not really going to budge. They did a tremendous job. In the first quarter, though, one of the things we've talked about earlier in the season and then we've kind of forgotten to mention is the defensive backs for this Wildcat team. They have a lot of solid talent outside. Of course, Preston Sykes, he had an interception on the day, but for the most part, it was kind of shaky. They got beat on a couple deep balls. The first one, it was the 68-yard touchdown pass from Howell to Holthus. That was about halfway through the first quarter. And then as time expired at the end of the first, Bryce Chambers caught another 20-yard touchdown pass. Both of those receivers were relatively open. Now, Chambers should have been ruled out of bounds. His foot had stepped on the pylon, which was out of bounds, meaning he was out of bounds when he made contact with the ball. It should have been incomplete. Obviously, these officials in the NAIA have a tougher task because the only things they can review is targeting, and that comes at halftime and at the end of games, so they have to really, they have more pressure to get the call right on the field at that moment, so I can't really fault them there. It was a bit of a bang-bang play, maybe not the best angle, so I'll give them that, but even then, the Wildcats cannot let players run free like that, but they really did a good job for the remainder of that game. Also, the front seven did a tremendous job pressuring Howell. They were able to get home 3 times, get some sacks in, and really put him in tough positions where they had to throw the ball deep, and that's where the DBs did a better job of getting the ball down and really just making right plays. Moving over to the Wildcat offense, this is an offense that for these past couple weeks we have kind of been a little concerned about. We weren't sure about Kyle Antoine. He had he did what he needed to do. I've said that before on this show, but I'll say it again. He did what he needed to do. He had a touchdown pass. And I think part of that, too, you look at his stats, you say they're not terribly impressive. Ryan Whitwell coming back was a big part of that. That's an all-conference running back, an amazing player. He was obviously out. He hurt his hamstring in practice during the bye week, so Roosevelt Cage got the start for the remainder of the regular season. But having Whitwell back in the lineup, I think, was huge for that Wildcat offense. It means Antoine doesn't have to do as much. But as we approach, you know, later in the season, we're now in the quarterfinals. You know, for crying out loud, Antoine really has got to step up his game. And if he can just do what he needs to do, that's all Coach Rohde's going to need. He probably like to have 5 touchdowns, but he doesn't need Kyle Antoine to have a 5-touchdown kind of game when you have 2 different running backs in the backfield who can really make some hay and do just about anything from the line of scrimmage. Also, the Wildcat offensive line, they did a great job blocking for Antoine. He was only sacked 1 time on the day, but the running backs were able to find the holes and really just pierce the defense overall for the Mound Builders. So solid day for them on offense. Again, did what they needed to do. And one thing that I was really impressed with that really isn't going to show up on the stat sheet is moving into the fourth quarter, watching that offense just methodically kill the clock. They weren't throwing the ball deep downfield. They got a couple nice completions, but they really started slowing the offense down. It was about the first time we have seen them do that this season. This is a fast-paced, no-huddle offense, very similar to the K-gun offense that we saw the Bills of the early 90s run, those Super Bowl teams. It's very fast-paced. That does not give the defense time to rest or really call out plays. But we saw a bit of a different approach, and I think that was something that I know for me personally, as I was watching them throughout the season, I thought, do they have that kind of drive in them where they have to kill the clock? And they showed it, and it was great experience for them, and I think that really is going to pay off, especially in this quarterfinal game as we're playing better teams, but then moving possibly into the semifinals, however far this Wildcat team can go. Getting a drive like that and having that under your belt and knowing you can do that, I think is going to make all the difference going forward. Earlier this morning, I was able to catch up with head football coach Andrew Rohde to discuss last week's win over Southwestern College, talk about the All-League honors that many of his players obtained over the past week, as well as get his thoughts and insights on the Ravens coming to town on Saturday afternoon.
Here with head football coach Andrew Rohde. Coach, you're back in the quarterfinals in your second season. Last year, you ended up going on the road, but this year you're at home. Talk to me a little bit about the difference between last year's preparation and this year's.
Well, I mean, I don't think the preparation has been all that different. I mean, our practices are the same, and the guys are watching a lot of film and intently focused on trying to learn the game plans on offense, defense, and special teams. And so I think there's been a great focus this week and a great intentionality to make sure that we understand the details of what we're doing. And I think our guys are pretty locked in and ready to play.
Coming out of the bye week, you guys obviously didn't play the first round, and then you move into the second round where you host the Mound Builders of Southwestern College. Early in that first quarter, there was some defensive struggles. What adjustments were made on the defensive side of the ball that locked down that Mound Builders offense?
I think our defense played well. I think there was some lack of communication that I think that's what people were seeing, and that's what gave up some of the explosive plays. And so I think as soon as our guys remembered that championship teams have elite communication, and they started doing that and practicing it every play, they started playing really, really great football on defense.
Now, you had 24 players on your Wildcat team this year either get first team, second team. You have a couple players win Players of the Year in the Mideast, obviously Isaac Smith on the offensive side and then Clayton Mosier on the defensive side. How proud are you of all those players?
I'm really proud of those guys. I mean, the individual accomplishments are, you know, outstanding and very well deserved by all those guys. And just the sheer amount of guys, I think just speaks to the competition level that we have within the team. Because it's an incredibly competitive team, and those guys are the guys that have kind of just risen to the top of that competition. But I also think it just speaks to the quality of our team as a whole in that, you get individual recognition when the team succeeds. And so I think it's just a great recognition for our entire team, you know, everybody from the scout team guys and the freshmen all the way up to the guys that are playing and got the awards. I think those are representative of team awards and great team as much as they are representative of great individual accomplishment. So I'm really proud of the team for putting those guys in a position where we can have so many individuals winning those awards.
Now, moving over to this week's matchup, you got the Ravens this week. And looking at their stats and roster, it's kind of similar to your team. They earned 23 All-Heart South honors this past week. They have a few players that will present some challenges. Obviously, receiver Jacob Garthright was named Heart of the South Player of the Year, and then Jackson Dooley was Offensive Player of the Year in that same conference. And their head coach, Joel Osborne, was Head Coach of the Year. What kind of challenges do these Ravens present to your Wildcat team?
A lot. It's a great football team. They've won a ton of games, scored a lot of points on offense, so I think they've got a pretty high-powered offense. Their quarterback is really good. You got two receivers, 21-1, that are just outstanding football players. They play hard, they're tough, they find ways to make plays, and they're explosive and electric when the ball's in their hands. And their offensive line is really good too, so they got a tough run game on top of having those weapons on the perimeter.
All right, Coach, appreciate it. Thank you for taking your time, and good luck later today.
Thank you, Gavin, appreciate it.
Once again, always a pleasure to talk to the coach. Appreciate that he always takes time out of his busy schedule to do those interviews. So once again, special thanks to Andrew Rohde for doing that. So that was last week's game recap, but before this week's game preview, due to a short turnaround last week, The All-League honors had not yet been published, but I wanted to take a second to highlight all of those on the Indiana Wesleyan Wildcats roster who were named to this prestigious honor. So, starting off, Isaac Smith, not only did he make first team, he was voted as the MSFA Mideast Offensive Player of the Year. He led the entire Mideast with 948 receiving yards on 70 catches, and he also led the conference with 13 touchdowns while averaging just over 86 yards per game. And Clayton Mosier wins Defensive Player of the Year in the Mideast Conference. He had a solid season. I mean, he was just dominant overall. He tallied 75 total tackles, 4 sacks, a forced fumble with 2 recoveries and 2 interceptions, and he was the anchor of the defense that held opponents to 10.91 points per game. Kyle Antoine, quarterback for first team. Roosevelt Cage, running back for first team. Ryan Whitwell, another running back for the first team. Levi Tidwell, wide receiver. Will Angel, offensive lineman. Drew Pretty on that O-line. Ben Zebarth, Anthony Cheeseborough, a defensive lineman. Robert Hunter, defensive line. Luke Bays, linebacker. Neil Campbell, defensive back. Preston Sykes, defensive back. Josh Clifton, the kicker. Miles Cox, a return specialist. Isaiah Hayes, the long snapper. Tristan Hayes, the tight end. Caleb Williams on the defensive line. Ethan Stewart, the senior offensive line, got an honorable mention. Caleb Williams made second team. Davion Turner, defensive back, got an honorable mention. And Drake Deshetsky, linebacker, also with an honorable mention. So huge shout out and congratulations to all 24 of those players. I think they earned it well. As Coach Rohde put it, these individual awards represent a great team effort. We have a large number of guys on the list because we have a team of guys bought into sacrificing for the team. I'm very proud of their individual accomplishments and happy the team could be recognized this way. Once again, huge congratulations to all those players, well deserved on their part. So moving into this week's game, the Wildcats welcome another new opponent to Marion. This time it's the Ravens of Benedictine College. The Ravens are coming off an impressive road win in a shootout against Texas Wesleyan, winning that game 42-33. Indiana Wesleyan looks to win and make it back to the semifinals after a one-year absence. So looking at Benedictine College, they play in the Heart of America Conference. The Ravens went 10-2 overall this season, 5-1 in conference play. They're riding a 3-game winning streak. At home, they're 4-1. On the road, they are 6-1. Their only 2 losses coming to Grandview, who is the 2 seed in this year's playoffs. They lost that game 52-28, and their most recent loss was November 2nd. They lost to Mid-American Nazarene 48-47, but don't be fooled by that. Those 2 losses, those were against very solid teams. Looking over at their season stats overall, they're averaging just over 483 yards a game, 157 yards on the ground, 326 yards through the air. They're averaging 46.6 points per game. Looking over at their defense, they're allowing 363 yards per game, 118 on the ground, 244 through the air, and points they're allowing 25. So this is already looking like it's going to be an offensive shootout. Looking at their most recent game, they once again they beat Texas Wesleyan at Fort Worth. They won that game 42-33. Just looking at some stats for Benedictine, they had 24 first downs, 10 on the ground, 14 through the air, none aided by penalty. They were 7 of 12 on third down. They went 0 for 2 on fourth. They racked up 521 total yards offensively, 344 of those through the air, 177 on the ground. And penalties, they, much like the Wildcats, lost the penalty battle. They committed 7 for 60 yards. So already, it kind of seems like they have a very similar makeup to this Wildcat team. Their offense is led by junior quarterback Jackson Dooley, played in all 12 games. He's completing 60% of his passes, averaging 313.8 yards per game. He's got 38 touchdowns to only 10 interceptions. He has thrown for 3,766 yards this season. Just to put that in perspective, compared to Kyle Antoine, who has been phenomenal this season, Antoine's completing 64% of his passes, which is higher. Antoine has 26 touchdowns on the year to 7 interceptions. Antoine has thrown for 1,000 yards less than Mr. Jackson Dooley. Antoine with 2,659 yards. So the Wildcats, if there was ever a time to get tested by a really good quarterback, You'd rather do it in the quarterfinals rather than maybe semis or, dare I even say, the national championship game. But Dooley has been outstanding this year for the Ravens. On the ground, they have a couple of solid running backs as well. Dalton Witherspoon, he played in all 12 games on 172 attempts. He's got 753 yards and 9 touchdowns, no fumbles. They also have Xavier Ugori, a junior running back. He played in 10 games, racked up 421 yards, and he has just one touchdown on the year. His longest run was 45. He has also coughed up the ball. It really seems like overall for this Ravens team, the money comes from the passing game. Jacob Gathright, senior wide receiver, played in all 12 games. On just 52 catches, he has 1,215 yards this season, 12 touchdowns. They also have Jashawn Todd, senior wide receiver, also played in all 12 games, 31 catches for 619 yards, 6 touchdowns. And Joseph Lagafuina, a sophomore wide receiver, 30 catches, 579 yards, and 8 touchdowns. So honestly, it just kind of seems like a slightly different version of the Wildcats offense. I think the Wildcats have the edge for the running back room, but this Ravens wide receiver core is really stacks up well against the Wildcats receiving core. And the quarterbacks, I'm very excited to see this duel between two phenomenal quarterbacks in Kyle Antoine and in Jackson Dooley. As there are a lot of players of the years playing in this game in their respective conference. So, for the Ravens, quarterback Jackson Dooley was named Heart of the South Offensive Player of the Year. Their head coach, Joel Osborne, was named Heart of the South Head Coach of the Year. And receiver Jacob Gathright was named Heart of the South Player of the Year. He's the best player in their conference. They have, I guess you could say, the second best offensive player, if you go by that logic, because Jackson Dooley was named Heart of the South Offensive Player of the Year, which would make him second, given that Gathright is first. They have the best coach in that conference for this season, and I'm so excited for this game. Two quarterbacks who have been named to the first team for their conferences. Dooley, obviously, winning Offensive Player of the Year. Isaac Smith won Offensive Player of the Year for the MSFA. And we're going to have ourselves, I think, a good old-fashioned shootout. We saw against the Mound Builders, these Wildcat defensive backs get tested by receivers who are better than we have seen so far that the Wildcats have played. But this Ravens team, they got some different animals over there. They're a different breed, and I really think that it's going to be really which defense can make the first stop. We've seen so many times the Wildcat offense, when they have been stifled by defenses, their own defense does a nice job of stepping up, and it really is going to be a challenge on the defensive end of the ball for this Wildcat team. Can they get home? Can they force Dooley into some errant throws? This is a Ravens team that really has just been running up the score on a lot of teams. They beat William Woods of Missouri 86-0 on November 16th. They beat Central Methodist 49-10. They beat Culver Stockton 56-21. I mean, they have been able to put up a lot of points. Now, if you look at the defense for the Ravens, they've allowed 25 points per game, whereas the Wildcats have allowed just under 11. So a stark contrast between those two defenses. But then again, you could use that same logic in reverse. You could say, well, the Ravens offense has produced more points, more yards. They've, you know, their quarterback has put up better stats. So really, it's the Wildcats have the better defense. As much as it pains me to say it, the Ravens might have the better offense. And it really is just that's going to be the more exciting matchup, I think, in my mind. The Wildcats offense versus the Ravens defense, I think it's still going to be a show, and there are going to be some fireworks. But I think this Wildcat defense, this may be the best offense. It probably will be the best offense they may play all year, even if they go farther. Right now, the Ravens have one of the best offenses in all of NAIA. I think the defense has been something that has been sort of lackluster for them, which is why they fell a couple times. They finished 10-2. But man, I got to tell you, this Wildcat defense versus this Ravens offense, I think is going to be a showdown that we're going to maybe be talking about for a long time when you talk about Wildcat playoff football. So kickoff for the Wildcats and Ravens game is at noon Eastern Standard Time. It'll be in Marion, Indiana, so the Wildcats will have home field advantage. It'll be true home field advantage. The weather will be hopefully a little warmer than it was last week, but the student body is back from Thanksgiving break, and I'm really interested to see if that makes all the difference in this game. But with all that being said, that's all for this week in Wildcats football.